Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for the Lamb of God that was slain. Father, we thank you for the power in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the access we have in the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your deliverance in the blood. We thank you for your healing in the blood. We thank you for the life we have in the blood. We thank you for the power in the blood of Jesus. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you honor. We worship you, mighty God. We thank you for this special moment. We thank you for this special season. Our eyes are on you, Father. Our hope is in you. Surprise us, O God, in this window of destiny, as we wait upon you, Father. As we wait upon you, we worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Have your way tonight, Father. Open our eyes, O God. Open our ears. Draw us closer and deeper to you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. 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 We give you glory, Father. We thank you for your holy angels in this place. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be invited to your holy presence. Magnify your name, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are entering into a covenant prayer tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We are entering into a covenant prayer tonight. Let's open to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. If you're taking notes, you can just put Leviticus 16 for you to study exactly what happens on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16 will tell you that exactly what the ritual of the Day of Atonement. The reason I say we are praying a covenant prayer tonight is because in the Hebraic calendar and in the feast that the Lord has given, from sundown, which is evening of today in here, not the Jewish nation, to the whole of tomorrow, 24 hours, the Jewish calendar, they begin to count from the evening to the next evening, 24 hours. But making contact with this timing and entering into tomorrow is called the Day of Atonement. What you call Yom Kippur in the current generation. This is called the High Holy Day. The 7 month feast are called the holy days, but this is called the holiest, the high of the high of the holy days. And there's a reason for it. But before we read the scriptures pertaining to this covenant prayer, let me say something about covenant prayer. The Bible says, in the beginning, in John 1, was the Word of God. Amen? And the Word was God. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And later it says the Word became flesh. Now, in Psalms it says, God has exalted His Word above His name. God and His Word are one. Amen? That's why He could swear by no other, He swear by Himself. So God is subject to His Word. Amen? The Word of God is everything, because you can't separate God from His Word. So I want you to understand this kind of prayer. When the Lord said, the soul that sinneth shall die. Alright? That's the Word of the Lord. But here is Adam, somebody God has put in the earth to perpetuate His kingdom, to carry forth His purpose. But as soon as Adam sinned, he was judged. Because God has already said there is a consequence for sin. So now God had to make a way for sin to be atoned for sin to be forgiven, for sin to be remitted. Because there is consequence for sin. Now that's one aspect of the Word of God. In the days of Noah, when God judged the earth, God spoke with His own mouth. He said to Noah, He created a rainbow. And He said to Noah, I make a covenant with you, with this rainbow. He says, as long as I live with this rainbow, I will not destroy the earth with water again. That's the earth, not a state or a nation. But He says, I will not destroy the earth with water again. Amen? So when God says something,
you can bank on it. But here is how you use the word of God to pray. God wants us to come to him with his word. So if, for example, there's a flood that wants to destroy the earth, you can bring the rainbow before the Lord and put it as your defense and say, you have spoken with your own mouth that you will not destroy the earth again with water. And what is the evidence? Rainbow. So God says, when I see this rainbow, it will pacify my wrath. The same thing with blood. When he was going to destroy Israel, he told them to take blood and put it on the doorpost. He says, when I see the blood that is being used now for an atonement, in other words, a goat or a sheep was killed in their place. So that blood is the witness that something has already died in the place of those that are in that house. So he says, when I see that blood, which is a sign that something has already paid the price for your sin, I will pass over you. But where I don't see a sign, there will be death there. So he says the blood is what? A token. A token is what? A sign. The children of Israel made a covenant with a woman, a lady known as Rahab. And they gave her a token, a sign. They say, put this sign on top where we can see it when we come to destroy Jericho. When we see that sign, they made a covenant that with her. When we see that sign, anybody in that house will not be destroyed. Sign, a token. The blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, it talks about we've come to the Mount of Zion. Towards the end, it talks about the blood of sprinkling. That speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Let me cut this short because of the scriptures we're going to read. Jesus says, as often as you do this, you take the communion, what we call it, you do this in remembrance of me. What do you mean in remembrance of me? It means, whenever you present the blood and you bring the witness, whatever the blood stands for before God, God will honor it. God is like the rainbow. Anything that the blood gives you legal right to stand on, you are guaranteed that God will honor it. The Bible says if we sin and we confess our sin, it says God is righteous to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of the blood. So when we sin and we confess our sin and use the blood, we are washed as clean as snow with the blood. Now, another thing with the covenant blessing is with days, seasons. When they came out of Egypt, after they came out to the Passover, God told them, he says, this day, Exodus 14, shall be a memorial forever. This day shall be a memorial, the day that I killed the firstborn and brought you out because of the blood, the Passover blood, shall be a memorial. So that day is a memorial. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, as they came to the wilderness, God gave them certain commands and then gave them certain feasts. He gave them these seven feasts and he told them, these are my appointed seasons. These are my set times that I have an appointment with you. And each of those times, they carry a covenant purpose. They carry an agenda of God. We see very clearly, we all know this by now, that the Passover, later Jesus fulfilled it to the latter. And the blood of bulls and goats that overthrew Pharaoh, defeated Egypt, and saved the children of Israel, strengthened them, and brought them into the covenant blessings of God. Jesus on the cross defeated Satan, said it's finished, and released, destroyed hell and death, took the keys of hell and death from the devil, and then 50 days from there, the heavens were opened and there was an outpouring of the Spirit. So with the blood, the book of Revelation says, we have power. We overcome every power of the enemy. The blood. It's a token. It's a sign of our victory. Amen? So, once a year, God gave them another covenant blessing. He said to them, once a year, Moses told Aaron, God requires the high priest on one of the days of the feast. This feast is called the Day of Atonement. That this is one day in a year, the high priest will come before God. And if he comes in the very requirements of God with the blood of sin offering and peace offering, and come after atoning for his own sin and the sin of Israel, he will come in behind the veil once a year where God's presence is in the Old Testament. And the sins of Israel will be atoned, covered. God will overlook it for that whole year and give them a new slate to begin. That was the covenant, the plan, once a year, once every year. And that very day is a very holy day. Because that's the only time, once a year, the priest, a human being, goes into what the Bible calls the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies. Once a year. So now, what does it mean to us as spiritual Israel, as Christians, as believers, who also have received such promises? You see, what God has given to the Israelites physically, whether it's a feast or a season, those windows God has given to us spiritually. And it also affects us in the natural realm, but those things God has given to us as spiritual, they are shadows we receive the reality of it. Even born again Jews. But they were sign of things to come. So, if the Day of Atonement is the one day that the high priest, goes in and atones for their sin and makes sacrifice and goes to the mercy seat and cries and comes out and releases Israel, that one day, God made a covenant with that day. And if you go to Zechariah, he says, one day the sins of the whole Israel shall be forgiven. That's the physical Israel. That will happen when Christ comes again physically. But for us, Jesus, during that Passover, fulfilled. He became the Passover lamb. He became the scapegoat. He became the sin offering, the peace offering. He became everything in his blood. And he fulfilled this Passover for us. He fulfilled atonement blood for us. And he made a way for us on that Passover. The Bible says the curtains of the temple was rent. And he made a way through his flesh, Hebrews says, for us to come into the holiest of all. Amen? By the blood of the Lamb. So we have the privilege to go anytime, 24 hours of the day, anytime. There is no limit for us because of the blood. Amen? But still, God has made a covenant with that day. What kind of covenant is that? In Leviticus 25, let's look at it. In Leviticus 25, from verse 8, he said, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of what? Atonement. Shall you make the trumpet to sound throughout your land? And you shall hollow, meaning make it a holy day, the 50th year, and proclaim what? Jubilee. Proclaim liberty. Freedom. Proclaim it. Declare it. Throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a what? A jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession. Listen to this. And you shall return every man unto his what? Family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall, you know, then he went for that. Verse 12. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat in the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Possession means land, money, debt, your children, families, name it, whatever it is. Now, why is the 50th year still very important to us? Even though the door of heaven has been open and we can go anytime we like. Let's look at the physical so you can catch the spiritual, what we're about to do tonight. The Israelite in the physical, God has blessed them. What did he do? He gave every tribe and families within the tribe, everyone has received what they call inheritance. All of them, they have inheritance. Then they have possessions. Vineyards, whatever. Then they have children. Amen? So they have it to enjoy every day, any time of the year. But something happens. An Israelite trades with another Israelites, or they do business, and through the course of the year, or somebody starts, through the course of the year, you start owing somebody money you cannot pay. Or you start owing them fruits of the land you cannot pay. Or you start working for somebody. At one point or the other, they become debtors, like we are today. Either you become financially indebted to somebody, and after a while, when the people cannot pay the money, they will give their children to be slaves to work for another Israelite. Then, if they cannot, they give their more children. Later, if you study living tickles, sometimes a whole family becomes a slave to work for another person's vineyard because of debt. Remember the widow woman says, I'm a prophet's wife. Now my children are going to be demanded if I don't pay. If it's not debt that takes your children to become slaves, it will be land. So, through the course of their life, some end up being totally, whole family become slaves to another person. Some, they lose their land. Some, they lose their inheritance. Some, they lose their vineyard. They lose everything. Some, they are just carrying a big debt. So, every 50 years, God told them, he says, because I brought you out of the land of slavery, no Israelite shall enslave another Israelite or be enslaved by anybody more than 50 years. In every 50 years, after 7 Sabbaths of years, 49 years, the 50th year, you shall proclaim freedom and restoration. That's return every man unto his possession. Listen to this. One, they will declare liberty means freedom. That jubilee 50th year, if somebody you're owing somebody $1 million, is canceled. Meaning you just have $1 million to your credit. If you are owing $50, it's canceled. If you're owing somebody and your land has been given as a ransom, and you're still owing the person and your land did not meet the need, your land will be given back to you. Your debt will be canceled. If your children has gone into slavery and been taken over and they are working for other people and they've been taken, that year they will release all of you. If you read further and further, there are some that will not leave their master's house. They will be free. They won't leave, and they become what they call bond servants. They willfully serve their master, but jubilee has been granted. Now,